Open your Bibles with me over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Now, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. And I want to show you something here, and we'll talk about it a little bit. Acts 3, verse 1 says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles, bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." Now, I want to bring out some things in here, some things that I've already talked about before. But understand, first of all, this particular scripture is a spiritual principle. There's a spiritual principle there. If you notice that he asked an alms and Peter couldn't give him an alms, but he could give him what he had. Okay. Now, the spiritual principle here is that this: you can only give somebody something that you've got. And you can't give somebody something you don't have. Okay? Now, when he asked this alms, now, he was expecting to receive money. Okay? That's what he did. All the time that he was sitting at the temple, he would ask money of the people that would come through. Alms, that was a way of giving to somebody else. And so he was a beggar, basically, at the gate. And when he asked them, he was expecting money. But here's the thing. He did not receive what he thought he was going to get. He received what he needed. Come on, sometimes when we're talking to God and asking God for things, sometimes we're asking for something that we want, but God knows exactly what we need. How many knows money couldn't buy what he received from God that day? Amen. Now, you know, Peter says, "Such as I have, give I unto thee." Now, I want you to understand that Peter wasn't talking about, I am the healer. What Peter was talking about is, I carry an anointing. And the anointing that I carry, that has the healing power of God in it. So you've got to understand something. You are anointed of God. And if you're a born-again child of God, you carry the same anointing that Peter and John carried that day. And you can't forget that. You have to understand that God has anointed us for such a time as this. The Bible says that we'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, we're not the ones that does the recovering. Once again, we're just like Peter. All we are is a conduit for the power of God to flow through. Notice Peter reached out, got him by the hand, lifting him up, and then immediately he received that strength. What was that? That was the power of God coming into that man. Now, let me show you something here. He jumped up, and he began to raise and leap and praise God, and he went into the temple with the disciples. Now, here's the thing. Notice that it says, "And the people saw him leaping and praising God." See, there's some things that are happening here. Not only did the man receive what he needed, but because Peter and John were there and were willing to release the anointing of God that was in them, the people got to see the power of God. And the Bible says that they glorified God. You see, God needs you and I to start believing Him for some things. You see, we need to have a higher expectation than what we've had in the past. Come on, I really believe that we're at this place to where God is wanting us to lift up our expectation, because there's these times that God's expectation is different than ours for us. Come on, we seem to try to look at little things. But God's a big God. And God says, is there anything too hard for me? So God wants you and I to begin to imagine bigger things. To expect bigger things. Come on, church. You see, that's the problem. We've been kind of trained, especially in this area, that we shouldn't expect much. Right? Come on, we because, you know, a lot of us were raised and in a place. Then it was hard times and that kind of thing. And we were just taught, you know, I mean, again, my granny, she'd straighten out nails, you know, and they did a lot of things back then. They saved things. You know, I told you for a long time, our silverware, our cereal bowls was butter bowls. You know, I mean, that's just back in a time when that was just kind of the way it was. Matter of fact, a lot of the manufacturers, they made stuff that you would be able to use after you got done. Right? Now, this is before some of y'all's time, but at one point, they used to buy flour in big sacks. And those big sacks was made out of material that then the ladies, once the flour was used, they'd turn around and take those sacks and make them into clothes. Make them into dresses and stuff. They would be pretty floured and all that stuff. And that was on purpose. It was hard times, okay? But here's the thing. The people, or most people at that time, even though it's hard times, please understand this, that if you're a child of God, the economy of earth does not have you bound to it. Okay? You're not bound to the economy of earth. Yes, things cost you more and that kind of thing. But you've got to understand something. You're a child of the kingdom of God. And so God has so much greater for you in store, but you have to get out of the mentality that, well, it's tough for everybody. And yeah, it is tough, but here's the thing. You can come away from that knowing I'm a child of God. I got favor with God. I got the blessing of God on my life. God wants me to have better than the world has. And that's what He wants for you. But you have to have that expectation that God wants me to have more. See, here's the thing about the world. The world will try to pull you back down. Anybody besides me ever heard the statement, well, now they're just getting above their raising. I hope so. I hope my daughter gets so much far above her raising that I can't even touch her. Why? Because I want to see her do so much better than I've done. Don't you want to see yours do so much better? You see, it's what they're trying to do, it's a slur. They're trying to say something bad, but here's the thing. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. God wants you blessed. Come on, it's the people that don't understand blessing that say things like that. And what's that actually mean, above your raising anyway? Well, you know, just because you was raised in a house with 15 kids and had two bedrooms and you had to sleep, you know, five to a bed and pile up on the floor, that don't mean that you shouldn't have better now. Come on. You know, I grew up during a time when there were still toilets out beside the houses. Now, we were blessed we had inside plumbing, but there was still a toilet there. A lot of folks still didn't have inside plumbing. There were people that had toilets. Now, let me ask you something. Is it getting above your raising to move from having a toilet outside to having indoor plumbing to where the commode, you got a bathroom on the inside? Well, you know, folks that think that way, that have that poverty mentality, would say, well, you got above your raising there, and a toilet's good enough for anybody. Well, just crawl out on a morning like this morning with you some newspaper to go out there and sit out on that thing and tell me that it's not nice to walk into a heated bathroom with toilet paper. Come on, you see. God, yes, if that was then. Okay? And that was the best they were doing the best they could. But here's the thing. God wants you doing so much better. You have to get out of this mentality and have so much greater expectation for yourself. Come on. See, God's wanting you blessed. But it's all about a mentality and an expectation. Brother Charles and I have talked about this a long time. And Brother Charles, you know, he can definitely remember back there. He's a little older than I am, but he remembers, not a whole lot, but he remembers. He said, when we first started using the inside plumbing, the inside bathroom, he said it felt a little odd to be using the bathroom on the inside of the house. Why? Well, because, see, they weren't used to that. But just because it felt a little odd didn't mean it wasn't a whole lot better. Come on, church. You see, you'll find out that as God blesses you, it's different because you're used to here, but now God's brought you to here. And God wants to take you right on higher if you'll allow Him to. But you've got to have that expectation and understand God's expectation is so much higher for you than what you have for yourself. I'll prove it to you in just a minute from Scriptures. But I just want you to begin to understand and see, because whatever you're expecting, whatever you're believing God for, that's what you're going to get. Come on now. You see, it doesn't matter how much God wants you to have. It's what you can believe God for is what you'll get. Come on now, God will bless you as much as He can. But God's a faith God. And so your faith has got to be out there for God to do big things in your life and bless you in a big time way. And here's the thing about it too. You ought not feel bad when God blesses you. You ought not be ashamed when God blesses you. Come on, I know there's a lot of folks out there, you know that way. It must be nice. It is. It's very nice. And if you'd start believing God, you'd see how nice it is. Come on. It tickles me to see one of you all drive on the parking lot in a big new car. I got one or two amens. It tickles me to see you buy the house or build the house that you want. Makes me happy. That means God's blessing you and you're doing well and you're prospering. And that's what God wants you to do. You see, if you get jealous or mad about those things, then you've got a problem. Because you've got to understand. See, here's the mentality. You got, if God did it for them, He'll do it for me. Come on, but I've got to get my believing right. I've got to get my thinking right. I've got to get my expectation right. Come on. Pastor Ed and the place we inherited from my dad, the little house that we first lived in, and it was just a little block house that my granny actually had built, and that's where she had lived at. And, you know, it was, I guess, about a 25 by 34 building, I believe the whole house was. And, you know, it was, we could live in it all right. And, you know, being a man, I was all right with it. Can I get an amen from some men? Okay. Please don't leave me hanging out there. I was okay with it. It's fine with me. But I was never there. I was always working. Pastorette was the one always home taking care of the house. And I'm going to tell you, she took care of it and kept it immaculate. You know, we had linoleum floors. And she would scrub and wax those floors. And they would just shine like a diamond. That was her castle. There's a little block house sitting beside the road. You know, I've told this before. I'll tell it again. One time we had a neighbor, a friend of ours, that came in. And they had a young kid. And they came and knocked on the front door, and Pastor had opened the door for them, and the kid just ran in. She went, no, wait, the floors are wet. They weren't wet. They were just shining that much. That's how clean she had the thing, you know. But after a while, she started saying, I want a new house. I want a bigger house. I want... And I was like, why? Come on now, I'm telling off on me here. Because, see, at that time, I hadn't learned what I know now. And I thought we'd done well enough, you know. Besides that, you know, I could take my money and buy toys with. Can I get an amen, man? You know, for me, a boat was more important than a house. But for her, the house was everything. Because that's where she lived. That was her domain. And so she finally, you know, kept talking to me about it, and I said, all right, we'll do that. And so we were able to be remodeled. We still got the little block house is there, but you'd never know it was there because it's all surrounded now. We build around to bi-level and all that kind of stuff. Now we got more house than we need, more house than she wants to clean. Can I get an amen? Got so much house now, we can put up 4 Christmas trees. Can I get an amen from anybody? And I keep saying, you don't need 4 Christmas trees in this house now. There's just me and you. And you know what she says? I want them. Dan, stand up, please. Throw the shirt open. Right? Yes, dear. Okay. So Pastor Ed and I spent all weekend doing it. Well, see, her expectation is so much bigger when it comes to that. You know, and I've even, being a man once again, don't want to have to do all. But we're getting older and we got to help each other. She helps me, I help her, and you know, I mean, there's the do the hair day. You know what I'm talking about? See, you all looking at me funny. Don't you women just get me. Come in here with all your color and act like that you don't get gray too. And just because you go to the beauty shop, don't mean, come on now. But Pastor Ritz got her own personal beautician. So you're looking at me funny. Mwah. I know how to do the roots. I know how to use the little brush. But at the same time, I've got a personal barber. Okay. So she's with that little buzzer sticking it plumb down in my ears going, you know, all that stuff. While I'm sitting there squinting. I think I'm a little easier on her than she is on me, but I think sometimes she hits her thinking about, you know, stuff while she's doing that. But I'm trying to show you here, though, see expectation. What is your expectations? She has certain expectations of me. I have certain expectations of her. But then we have together certain expectations of God. And we have decided we're not going to limit God on anything. Amen. You say, well, why are you doing her hair then? I'm doing her hair because she says a lot of times when she goes to the beautician, the stuff they use burns your hair up. I don't know, ladies. I mean, maybe some of you can relate to that, but you know, and maybe it doesn't. But for her, I think she dislikes me having my fingers in her hair. You know, it's a twofer, right? You know, I'm sitting there playing with her hair while she's getting. But getting back to the house, her expectation, God wanted her to have that, and she got it. Amen. And see, that's the thing for you. You've got to understand, God, you can't limit God by your expectation. I was limiting God because I was saying, this is good enough. This is all I want. But she was saying, no, I want more. I want it much more. And then, of course, you know, if you'd have seen what it looked like before compared to what it looks like now, you'd never know that the other one was ever there. Okay? But you see, that's the thing. God wants you and I to have the desires of our heart, because he says when you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll grant you the desires of your heart. So a lot of folks, I'll read some scriptures in a minute, and I know I'm going on too much, but a lot of folks have this thing that God has promised to meet your needs, but not your wants. Well, that's not true. God did promise to meet your needs, but he also said again, delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll grant you the desires of your heart. God wants you to have good stuff. Amen. He wants to bless you, but you have to have an expectation and know that. Isn't it a shame that so many Christians don't have any idea that God wants them blessed? They think what they've got now is that's all they'll ever get, and that's God's will for them to have. This is it. This is as much as it goes. Listen, we're just getting started. Till Jesus comes. I'm going to tell you something. There's getting ready to be a transfer. And I'm going to be part of that transfer. Now, whether you are or not, that's up to you. But I'm getting ready, because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, laid up for the just. I'm righteous and just according to the Word of God, and so are you. I want in on that, don't you? It's our inheritance, because the earth's been given to the children of God. Amen. So let me show you another one here real quickly. Go with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14, a very, very, very familiar scripture to some of you because I've preached on it a few times, but I want to show it to you in the light of this. 2 Kings chapter 13, and let's look down here at verse 14. It says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he had died, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said to him, take bow and arrows. And he took him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. and he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times, then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou had consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. In other words, 3 times. Now, what I want to show you here is this. He's here before the prophet of God. Understand that the prophet of God represented God to the people. Okay, the only people that talk to God was the prophet, the priest, and the king. And most of the time, the kings weren't in the condition, really, to get to talk to God. So they would always have to summon a prophet so the prophet could seek God. So when the king of Israel goes down to the prophet, he's dying, they know he's dying. The prophet begins to prophesy and bless him. He's already shot the arrow out the window, saying that that's the hour of deliverance. And then he tells him, he said, you take and smite those arrows against the ground. And the king just smote it 3 times. And the man of God got mad. Why? He said, you should have done it 5 or 6 times. And then you would have totally obliterated Syria. But now you're just going to defeat him 3 times. What's he saying? Your expectation wasn't high enough, king. You could have hit it 5 or 6 times and your problem would have been over. But now you're going to have the problem again. See, there's where we are. We're not having the expectation. Oh, God bless me. Oh, well, great. That's good. Listen, don't stop there. God's blessed me with it. Don't stop there. Don't put a limit on God. You need to open yourself up and now open your expectation that I'm going to receive everything God wants for me. Well, now, Pastor, I kind of hate to get greedy. If God wants you to have it, why wouldn't you want to have it? Think about it for just a minute. It's not being greedy. It's being a faith-believing person that knows how to receive the things of God. Come on. I'm going to show you just in a few minutes why we need to have this kind of expectation. But I just want you to understand that God wants you to have it. Notice here, God, through the prophet, said, man, I had such a higher expectation for you. I was going to allow you to totally obliterate the Syrians. But now you're just going to defeat them 3 times and you're going to have to deal with them. Notice that. The problem could have been over with. But because he limited by the times that he hit the ground, it stopped God from being able to do everything that he wanted to do for the king. Now, jump over with me to the book of Acts. Let's look at something over here. Acts chapter 1. Luke writing here, he says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, and saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put into his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and to Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, what I want to show you here is something a lot of times we're talking about, you know, being filled with the Holy Ghost, but look and see what's going on here. Here they are. Jesus appearing to them, He's telling them after he's resurrected, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go tarry in the upper room till you fill with power from on high. And notice what they do. They say, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Now, you've got to understand, Jesus came to deliver the world. But their focus was just on theirs. Just on them. Just on Israel. Just on their people. But God had so much more vision than what they had. That's when Jesus said, that ain't really none of your business. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get filled with power from on high so you can go out now and start spreading the kingdom of God. You see, because Jesus' purpose was... See, they thought he was going to come, go in, defeat the Roman Empire, and set up his kingdom right there on earth. They thought he was just going to get the Israelites back in rulership again. All they were thinking about was themselves. Jesus came, of course, to help out the Israelite people, but not just them, but the world. The Gentiles, aren't you glad? Because that's us. But I wanted you to see that their expectation with Jesus and Him being crucified and risen from the dead, their expectation was only that Israel's kingdom be set back up. God went through all that. Jesus went through all the crucifixion just so that Israel's kingdom would be set up. No, Jesus went through it all so everyone, whosoever will, could come and receive eternal life. You see how much greater God's expectation was than even the children of Israel. Let me ask you something. What's your expectation? What is your expectation of God and the things of God? We need to think about those things. You know, is it just about you? Is it just about your family? Now, those things are great, don't get me wrong. But those are only the starting point. That's just where we're getting started at. Yes, we've got to get ourselves lined out. We've got to get ourselves expecting. But God wants so much more from us. He wants us, I pray it over you all the time, not only that you're blessed, but you're a blessing. Amen. And so your expectation has got to be more than just you. Here's the thing about this, folks. In order to be a blessing, you've got to be blessed. Right? And that's what we've got to get. God has to bless you in order to make you a blessing. So our expectation ought to be, God, I want to be the biggest blessing of anybody in the country. You know what that would mean? You'd have to have more money than anybody else in the country. Because you've got to have resources to be a blessing, right? Once again, you cannot give somebody something that you don't have. So God got to get it to you so He can get it through you. And that's the thing that we're missing, you see. We kind of get ourselves, once again, our expectation is just on us. And our thing. And our family. And that's okay. I mean, you want to get it, but it can't, it's got to be so much more than that. You should focus on your family. You should want to bless your family. But you ought to also want to be a blessing to those around you. Let God use you to be a blessing. Now, jump over with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And this is Paul's prayer. And I want you to see this. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3. Look at verse 14. This is one of his prayers. He says, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What did Paul just pray for us? First of all, he just prayed that we'd know how big God is. See, we've got to understand he's a big God. Look at your neighbor and say, he's a big God. He is a big God. There's nothing too hard for him. Nothing. Got to realize that. He also prayed that we would know the love of God and know to be filled with all the fullness of God. This is Paul praying for us, praying for saints. And then he goes on and he says, because God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Notice that. I'll never forget one time Brother Tim come up to me and said, do you ever notice that scripture? And I said, what? Because sometimes I'd quote it like, God can do exceedingly abundantly. Exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. He said, you know, it don't say that. And I said, yeah, it does. He said, no, go back and read it again. And when I went back and read it again, it said, exceeding abundantly. Not exceedingly abundantly, because that would have been two words to describe it. Now, what God's saying or Paul is saying here, that the abundantly is exceeding. You get it? Exceeding abundantly. Amen. Above all you could ever ask or think. So the abundantly is so much more. Not abundantly above all you can ever, but exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. So much more. Amen. So much more than what we could ever ask or think. Now, let me give you another scripture. And I want to give this to you just in a minute from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But before I do, I want to just remind you that one of the names of God is El Shaddai. Does anybody know what El Shaddai means? The God of more than enough. That's one of his names. El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Now, if he's the God of more than enough, guess what he wants to do? More than enough, right? Let me prove it to you from scriptures, okay? This is why our expectation ought to be more than what we need, okay? I'm going to give this to you now from the New Living Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 15, okay? And God will generously provide you, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Notice that. See, the reason that God wants you and I to have a greater expectation and believe Him for more is so that we can be able to give to others, share with others, bless others, so that they will bless God and glorify God, and God then will bless you for blessing them. Do you see that? So it's kind of like for you, it's a double blessing. Because God blesses you to be able to be a blessing, and when you're a blessing, God blesses you for being a blessing. Why? Because God just loves to bless His people. But you have to have that expectation, God wants to bless me. God wants me to be a blessing. So don't miss an opportunity to be a blessing. When God speaks to your heart about it, do it. And watch what He does. You see, because notice that what it does, it proves that you are in Christ and Christ is in you because of your generosity, because you're willing to think above and beyond who you are and give God glory that I am blessed and so I want to be a blessing. It's one of the reasons that I love it when people will, you know, I always get slack from it, but I just love it when people tell their kids the truth about Christmas and about Santa Claus. Because, see, the whole time they're giving God glory because you can say this, God blessed us so that we could bless you. Amen. Not about a little man riding around in a sleigh with reindeer. He ain't got nothing to do with this. Saint Nick was a good man back in the day. But he's not a mystical character. Don't get mad at me now. I know that, and I know that just messes with people because, you know, we would want to break for tradition, would we? Come on now. I understand. I understand the schools do their things. I understand that. But here's the thing. Teach your kids the truth. And then when they get older, you won't have to tell them I've been lying to you for the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Because if you lied to them about that, what else have you lied to them about? You can say, oh, that's not. Kids are pretty sharp. If they've been telling me that all the time, what else have they been telling me? What else is it that I don't know? So you're looking at me funny. Be a blessing to your kids. And just start them out right. Tell them the truth. Say, we're blessed of the Lord. And God is blessing us to bless you. You can still give the gifts. That's the whole thing. And you can use a biblical story for it. You say, we're blessing you with gifts, just like the wise men that came to see the baby Jesus blessed him with gifts. Right? We want to enrich your life the way they enriched his life. Because God is our source and our supply. And we believe him for big things. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me before I get you all down about Santa Claus. Sorry, but he ain't real.